Well, amen. I'm glad you're here on the 4th of July. You know, time just keeps on going. You go to school, you learn things, go to college, all of that, graduate, and looking forward to things in your life, so forth. All of that can be changed around, for sure. But a young graduate from Harvard was so excited, just thinking about his future. He gets into a taxi to a cheerful hello from the driver. "And how are you this lovely day?" The guy says, "I'm in the class of 2021, and I've just graduated from Harvard. I can't wait to see what the future has in store for me." The driver looks back, shakes the young man by the hand, and introduces himself. "Hi, I'm Mitch, class of 99. Graduate from Harvard and driving a cab. Amen. You never know. Take your Bibles this morning, please. Turn to Psalm chapter 80. The book of Psalm chapter 80. If you can stand, just stand for two verses, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 80, call your attention to verse 12. It says, "Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? The boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. Talking about the nation of Israel, and it's amazing how Israel and the United States, America, how God formed both. And when it's talking about Israel here in chapter 80, you can draw the same conclusions for America of what we're going through right now as well. God's angry with the wicked every day. And those that forget God, the nations that forget God, are turned into hell, it tells us, Psalm 9. Message tonight, or this morning, is what's God going to do with America? Boy, they love to impeach, don't they? And in Washington, boy, they're going to impeach this guy and that guy. The one they should impeach, they haven't yet. Let's hope they do. But as far as God is concerned, maybe God's going to impeach America. Amen. America's impeachment.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might guide and lead as we study. Help our mind be on the subject. Help us to understand about this nation and about your actions. Help us to get to know you better, Lord. What pleases you, what angers you. Blessing the preaching in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. This 4th of July, it's really mounted up with me in the mixed blessings. Not only, as always, that I stand for the America that I knew through history and through my childhood, but also I'm sorrowful I'm sorrowful and hurt for the land that I live in is in a moral free fall. No morality at all. Nothing that is described in the Bible is moral anyway. Everybody's got a different definition of morals. And it says here in Psalm 80, as it's talking about Israel and that nation, he said, because of their sin, the hedges are down. The hedges were protection. And the hedges are down, my friend. God protected America down through the ages. We see that it's going to be that there isn't the right protection, the same protection that America always had. It's in a moral free fall, and my friend, when you hit bottom, we don't know when that's going to be. The Bible tells us the future about the tribulation period and the rapture and the battle of Armageddon and everything else that I've preached on before. There's no repairing this, but we need praying. Praying from Christians. America needs that more than anything. Needs revival. It needs a restoring to the condition that it first started out as when God blessed it and brought it into being. Look at verse 1. Chapter 80, verse 1. Give, shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse 7 also. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. We're living in desperate days. If it hasn't sunk into you yet, America's in big, big trouble. Desperation. I got some points that I want to bring out quickly, as quick as I can. That might help us, because God wrote this about Israel, and as I said, same thing applies to America. Now, Israel is not America. There's a cult called British Israelitism, and that's not so. But you can certainly draw parallels. First of all, in verses 4 through 6, I want to show you a great nation's despair. And back in Bible days, Israel, Jacob, was the big nation. This is the one that had the miracles happen to it. The other nations were even afraid of Israel. Joshua and all the miracles that God did within that nation. So it's a great nation we're talking about, but it was in despair. Look at verse 4. O Lord of God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears, and give us some tears to drink in great measure. Thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. See, especially in verse 4, there is spiritual sterility. In other words, their prayers were a joke to God because it was an unrepentant prayer. They were going through the form of prayer, but they were continuing on in their sin. Their prayers were an insult to a holy God. Their prayers were repugnant. They were being religious without righteousness. The United States, people pray, but the cesspools of iniquity are overflowing in America. What about those prayers? If God couldn't recognize those in that day with his own nation, why would he with us? We're a nation that sows our wild oats for 6 days in the week, and then the seventh day we pray for a crop failure. Because whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Galatians 6:7. And America is reaping what they've sown. Forgetting God, blaspheming God, forgetting God. They want to sow their wild oats, but they want God to bless us anyway. God will bless America when America repents. It's that simple. There's got to be heartfelt repentance for anybody to even get saved on a personal level. That's how you got saved. You had to have repentance or you're not saved. That's why we see a lot of people running around saying they're saved, live like the devil. You shall know them by their fruits, Jesus said. He was talking about false prophets when he said that. Look at verse 5 right there. Thou feedest them with bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. In other words, there was personal sorrow. That's where it's got to get with America. We got to have people that are sorrowful over their nation, what they've done to God's glory. Keep your place here and go to the next book, Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 2. Take that pen you always bring to church with you. It says in verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Sorrow, brother. Like I said, I got mixed blessings on the birthday of our nation today. Or tomorrow it's going to be. On the 4th, 1776. I've got Old Glory flying at my house. I've got one on a flagpole. I got one on another pole on the garage. I got big stickers of 1776 with the 13 colonies right there, you know, that flag. I'm an American. I've been proud to be an American. Today I'm not proud to be an American. I wish I could be. But I need to be sorrowful. That's the only thing that's going to bring it back. He's talking about tears, brother. That's what's going to need. We're going to have to pay the price. And I'm afraid we're going to pay in oceans of tears, rivers of blood, seas of sweat. Why would you want to make life harder for you? When you go against God, you got to work all the harder. You know, we talk about Russia, we talk about China, we talk about Iran, so forth. They're our threat and everything. I got news for you. America's biggest threat is God.
Amen.
He's got all the power.
Praise God.
And you're sitting right in his face. You want him to bless? Not a chance. So there's a great national despair. Look at verse 6, because I want you to see the national shame. In verse 6, in our text, thou makest us strife unto our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves. When you have weak, carnal, wicked leaders in America, the other nations have no respect toward them or the people in the nation that would elect such a person. They sit back. Did you know America is known to these other nations as the great Satan? Respect's out the window. It was the same with Israel, right there in verse 6, it tells you. It's a shame on our nation. They don't respect us. They don't respect our ideals. They don't respect our leadership. Look at verse 8 and following. Oh, remember not against us former iniquities. Let thy tender mercy speedily prevent us, for we are brought very low. That's where we're going, folks. Even worse than we are now. Help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and take away our sins for thy name's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is their God? Let him be known among the heathen in our sight by the revenging of the blood of thy servants, which is shed. Let the sign of the prisoner come before thee. According to the greatness of thy power, preserve those, thou those that are appointed to die, and render to unto our neighbors sevenfold unto their bosom their reproach, wherewith they have reproached thee, O Lord.
Mister, where was that? I'm sorry. Where were you reading from?
In chapter 80.
Okay, where were you starting?
Oh, I did. I just mentioned 79, didn't I?
I just need to know where you are.
Okay. We're going to go chapter 80,
okay.
Verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with the shadow of it. And the boughs, therefore, were like the goodly cedars. She sent out her boughs, her boughs unto the sea, and her branches into the river. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? In other words, she had glory, but she forgot God. And what happens when you forget God? Judgment. Judgment has to fall. And judgment is falling. I shouldn't have to make the list for you of everything that's wrong with America that doesn't even go have any common sense to it at all. Boy, the way our nation started. Back in 1620, that old Mayflower, they made that old rickety ship. They met underneath deck because of all of the weather and everything, and they made a compact, the Mayflower Compact. And it started out, in the name of God, for the advancement of the Christian faith. On and on it goes as you read that. You know, that's not being taught in schools today. Kids don't even know how America came about. There are revisionists in our schools. They have revised history. You know me, I harp on that all the time. History is your friend. Did you know if people studied history, there wouldn't be any Roman Catholic Church? Nobody in their right mind would have anything to do with that if they knew the history of it. Yeah,
Kennedy was the first Catholic.
Who's that?
Kennedy.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yep. And, when America first came, 2% of the people were Catholic. They were looked down upon and so forth. But Earl Warren, does that ring a bell to anybody? Anybody that knows American history, it certainly should. He was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States in 1954. He made this statement. I'll read to you. And he definitely is not a right winger. He was liberal. Part of Warren's speech says, I believe no one can read the history of our country without realizing that the good book and the spirit of the Savior have from the beginning been our guiding geniuses. Whether we look to the first charter of Virginia or to the charter of Massachusetts Bay or to the fundamental orders of Connecticut, the same objective is present, a Christian land governed by Christian principles. I believe the entire Bill of Rights came into being because of the knowledge of our forefathers had of the Bible and their expressed belief in it. I like to believe that we are living today in the spirit of the Christian religion. That's back in 54 he's talking about. I like also to believe that as long as we do so, no great harm can come to our country. I mean, a liberal. He's not a big Republican or anything else. I'm telling you that even he, the highest in the land, could see that America was a Christian nation. And then Obama gets up and says, America's not a Christian nation. Yeah, that helped a lot. Go right against what the Supreme Court said. Do you have the song America? I don't. See if it's in that hymn book right there. Yeah.
This one?
Yeah, see if it's in there.
What's it called? Just America?
Just America. Did you? History tells us about Christopher Columbus. Huh? He was the first one that came over, right? Why'd he leave? Why did he come in the first place? See if I can read it to you. I have it written down here somewhere. Yes, here it is. Now pardon me? No, that's not what I want. Christopher Columbus wrote the book Prophecy. It's in the British Museum today. He said, this was in his notes as he was coming across from England. He said, it was the Lord who putteth in my mind to sail from Spain to the Indies. I can feel his hand upon me. All that heard of my project rejected it with laughter and ridicule against me. There is no doubt my inspiration to sail came from the Holy Ghost, because he comforteth me with the ray of illumination from the Holy Scriptures, encouraging me to sail on till I found the country. That's the reason Christopher Columbus came. God put it into his mind and his heart and his soul. England wouldn't support him. Italy wouldn't support him. It took Spain to go ahead and give. Because this is, you know, they still believed in a flat earth. You go so far and you fall off. And Did you know there's still nuts running around that believe in a flat earth? Okay. I'm talking about pastors believing that there's a flat earth. Crazy.
Point of information.
Yes.
It wasn't the king and Isabella who financed him.
Yeah.
It was three wealthy Hebrews.
Oh, is that right? Out of Spain?
Three Jews in Spain.
Under her, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because she was the money bags and the whole thing. But that, praise God. I'm saying that God was behind this all the way. He's the one that started it. So Christopher Columbus could even come there. Look at verse 10 in our text. Psalm 80, verse 10. The hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like goodly cedars. Mm-hmm. God prospered America. Did you know that even the poor today in America are rich compared to the people of other countries?
That's true.
People that are working overseas, whether it be China, Thailand, or wherever, you know, for Walmart and putting the clothes together and all of this, $6.50 a day. $6.50 a day. Those are the high rollers. I'm just saying. It was for God's glory. Look at verse 15. And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It was for God's glory. So the glory of God is taken away. There's shame in the nation. And all of the nations look on. They have no respect for us in any way, shape, or form. Look at verse 12. Why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? Mm-hmm. Back in Bible days, when they had a vineyard, when they had vine of grapes and so forth, they also, instead of putting up a normal fence like we would, they planted a hedge with briars and thorns and everything else to protect that vine. And in the Bible, Israel is pictured as a vine, the vineyard. And that's what it's talking about right down here. So anybody that passes by, verse 12, they do pluck her, take what they want. Because what? The protection's down. God took the protection away, the hedge, from Israel in this condition in Psalm 80, and they did it there with America too. The third thing is a national danger. Look at verse 12 right there. It's a danger. Keep your place here. Go to Isaiah 5. Isaiah chapter 5. There's a lot that goes into the mess that America's in today. And it takes time for you to know that what happened. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 1. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. Talking about Israel. My beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it and with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard. What could I have done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked at it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes? And now to go, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. National danger, brother. China especially is doing the plucking in America. When Trump was in there, he got China under control. All kinds of different things that he did. And now everything's reversed. China knows our secrets. We're at risk. We could be attacked any time. And remember, our hedges are down. We can all talk about all of the missiles and everything else. And do you think God's more powerful than all of the missiles and the space, you know, airspace? United States airspace? Yeah. And then it talks about the boar, that's a hog, and he goes to the root. And that's what it's talking about there. Let me read this to you. Everybody likes to say, yeah, America's number one. Yeah, we're number one in homosexuality. We're number one in radical feminism. We're number one in divorce.
Abortion.
We're number one in family values. We're number one in abortion. We're number one in politically correct. We're number one in cultic New Age religions. Yeah, we're number one, all right. I'm in sorrow on this 4th of July of my nation, following right along with what was already in the book for thousands of years that we could have learned from. Our schools, what a mess. Prayers are out, police are in. Bibles are out. Values clarification is in. Unity is out. CRT is in. The Ten Commandments are out. But rape, murder, bombs, they're in. Creation is out of the school. Evolution is in. Discipline's out. Disrespect is in. Traditional values is out. Unwed mothers is in. Abstinence is out. Condoms are in. Learning's out. Social engineering is in. Real music is out. Rock and roll is in. Praise to God is out. Blasphemy is in. It's okay to run around and tell others to go to hell, but I say it's time for us to tell them to go to heaven. That's what they need. That's what they need. Look at verse 14 in our text. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold and visit this vine and the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. It is burned with fire. It is cut down. They perish at the rebuke of thy countenance. In other words, this great danger, the national danger, it's not only external, it's internal, and it's eternal danger. God's our worst threat, as I said. We expelled God. Will God impeach us? Well, what's America today? An atheistic state. Leviticus 18:25 says, and the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity upon it. And the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. America in 2022. Then I want to call your attention to verse 15 again. There's national deliverance. National deliverance. The haters of And the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou madest strong for thyself. As we just read, go to verse 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. In other words, look up. Hey, America, look up. You aren't going to get revival through Washington. Don't look to, who we're going to put in office and everything else. Yeah, you better pay attention and put the right people in office. Don't go right against God that way. Don't make it any worse than it is. God's people are the ones that are supposed to be wise. Supposed to be prayerful. Supposed to be faithful. Don't you let laziness or any other excuse you have keep you away from the voting polls. That's a right you have as a Christian to say it, and a right for as an American. There's a professor in college that one of his students, he's a good Christian. And he's a devout Christian. And as he was teaching, there were questions coming up, and the students would raise their hand and everything. And when he pointed to this girl, or to the boy, he asked his question. He said, "Yes, sir." And he normally did that. He was always respectful to everybody. Well, it turns out this one was a transsexual. He came up to the professor and said, "I'm a girl. I want to be addressed as a girl, not sir." and so forth. And he got in the professor's face, made a big thing, went around him and everything. So it came to the college, big wigs and the president of the college, all of this type of thing. Long story short, he said, no, I'm not going to follow what you say. It's a First Amendment. I can say what I want to say. And I'm not going to lie to please you. Well, it went to court. Amen. The professor won. The college had to take him back. And it set the precedent. You know, somebody that's a transsexual, today I feel like a girl, today I feel like a boy. And they have to cave into that kind of stuff. First Amendment protects that. That just came out. Shawnee College in Ohio is what it was that I looked. Look at what verse 17 says. Let thy hand be upon the man of the right hand, upon the Son of Man, whom thou madest strong for thyself. He's talking about the man that was strong for us. That's Jesus that's talking about. He wants us to speak up, brother. We've got to learn to speak up for the right. Other people won't speak up. We need to speak up. Who's ever heard of Joe Wright? Pastor Joe Wright. That's what I thought. He was asked to address the Kansas House of Representatives for the morning prayer. This prayer was delivered January 23rd, 1996 by Pastor Joe Wright. And he started his prayer, Heavenly Father, we come before you today to ask for your forgiveness. Seeking your direction and guidance. Lord, we know your word says, woe to all those that call evil good. And that's exactly what we've done. We have lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word and called it moral pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternative lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. We have killed our unborn and call it our choice. We have shot abortionists and called it justifiable. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it ambition. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and see if there be some wicked way in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women in Kansas who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and who have been ordained by you. Help them to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule, and may their decisions direct us to the center of your will. I ask it in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. House of Representatives. They go through a ritual, most states. of having a pastor or somebody give a short prayer. They never expected him to do that. But boy, he did it just like he was in the pulpit. Amen. Speak up. That's what it's talking about. You know, they tell us out here in the world to go climb under a rock. What we better do is get out from underneath the rock and stand upon the rock and speak up for the Lord. We need to come out and stand. The church is not the master of the state. The church is not the servant of the state. The church is the conscience of the state. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ is to be. Point out the sin. Vote out the bums and vote in the ones that love America. Oh, don't say this, they'll get offended. There is nothing in the First Amendment of the Constitution to protect you from being offended. You tell the truth no matter what. As most of you know, that's what I'm doing. We're almost to the end. Go to verse 18. So will not we go back from thee. Quicken us, and we will call upon thy name. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. You say, but we're just a small church. We're just a few people, just a few Christians. Joshua 23:10 says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you, as he hath promised you. What are we going to do about America? This is our nation. They've robbed us of our nation and angered our God. And we're suffering underneath the wrath of God. God's judgment. Just like it happened with Israel. And everything's laid down just like it should be there. Of what should happen. How many remember Yamamoto? Oh, yeah. Some of you don't study history. Pearl Harbor, December 7, 1941. The Japanese came and bombed Pearl Harbor under the leadership of Yamamoto. Yamamoto, excuse me. You know what Yamamoto said just a year into the fight?
We woke up in China or whatever.
Yamamoto said, my intention was to catch America off guard. But I fear all that we have done is to awaken a sleeping giant and fill him with a terrible resolve. That's America. That's America. Right from 1776. Right through the Revolutionary War, even before that. Before the amendment. Before the independence, before the Constitution, we had to pick up guns. We had to fight. We had to bleed. for our freedom against Great Britain as they came upon us. We had to suffer. We had to go through so much so we could have this land of freedom. It's the only country in the whole world that came about with God's hand to bring it besides Israel. This is a miraculous nation. I'm sorrowful for it today. It's full of negatives. They went ahead and made this decision there about Roe versus Wade. You see that just about every woman in America took to the streets, they're bombing places, they're doing everything. Supreme Court, those nine justices, they're afraid for their life. Remember, God's protection's taken away. We don't know what's coming, my friend, but the answer is we got to open our mouth and stand. That's all we can do. Go to the polls and vote. Every time you get a chance to speak up for the Bible and for the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to do it. You can't sit back and be timid. You lose when you don't do it God's way.
Pastor? Oh,
yes.
The Second World War. The United States was a Christian nation.
Yes.
We lost, military and civilian, 407,000. The Russians were atheists, lost 24 billion. Chinese, who were not Christians, lost 20 million.
Yeah.
What a difference when you're under.
Oh, yeah.
When you're in the hand of the Creator, huh?
Amen.
What a difference.
Amen. So that's America's birthday present sermon.
You're not going to like it.
They'll be offended. But that's the truth as it stands today. Only God knows what the future is. We don't know what the future is, but we do know the God that knows the future. You follow Him. Excuses are out. We need to bring back our nation. We are children of light. They are in darkness. Need to stand up and shine the light. Heavenly Father, help each one of us to see it's our responsibility to bring our nation back, to get on our faces and pray and repent. Call our nation to repentance. Thank you for those that do all around, good Christians all around America and in churches, standing for the freedom that our boys fought for over 200 years ago. Help us to do our part. Work within our hearts and minds and lives, Lord, change us. We admit and confess to you our sins. May you forgive us, forgive our nation. Bless as we go through the future with you. Give us the strength and courage to do right. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.